This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here in White House, Tennessee. He is our closer, Jens Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Great hour coming at you here. Going to have Adam Burke, our managing editor, breaking down everything. NFL betting guide is out. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you already have access to it today. And if you're not, what are you waiting for? You need to sign up right now. Great offers out there. Multiple different ways to be a part of our fine network. And the great Wednesdays with Wes. Wes Reynolds will join the program. The last Elevate event, major changes to the PGA Tour are coming. We'll discuss all of that with Wes later on in this hour. But Jensen, yesterday, of course, was the NBA draft. You and I have discussed this. Not a lot of surprises, certainly, in the first round of the NBA draft. Maybe some smaller moves later on, maybe starting at 9 that we saw, but certainly not off the top. And I think what we're noticing, because there were no major shakeups past the Giannis trade the day before the NBA draft, is that the odds market really has not altered that much past Miami, right? That's obviously the big money move here, but that's not really in conjunction here with the NBA draft. That's more just the Giannis trade as a standalone. The Knicks, per se, they're 7-1 to repeat as champions next year. The Spurs are the shortest shot on the board right now. OKC, even though they've had some smaller moves that they've made, moving on from Wiggins and some other smaller pieces here. What do you make of the odds board this far out? You and I might not be apt to hop in on a team now if the value, say, has gone on a Miami Heat team that's moved up on the odds board here dramatically. What do you make of it after now the dust is settled, at least from the first round of the NBA draft?
Yeah, that's just a personal opinion for me. There's nothing to do right now. So if you do want to get invested, again, just a personal opinion, if you like to bet these early numbers in trying to discern maybe some value wagers right now, yeah, the Miami one would be the easiest, or I guess the layup, if you will, at 18-1, just to play a number. No, it's not the 35-1 that you had talked about with us and Zachary Cohen. I think the Pistons is still sitting at 25-1. And JVT joined us earlier and said, you know, hey, are the Heat the number two or number three team in the East right now? No, they're not. And I told you yesterday, correct me if I'm wrong, the Detroit Pistons were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and they feel like they are ascending. The core is young with high upside. You know, Cade Cunningham was right in that MVP market until the health issue he had to deal with. Jalen Duren has definitely been a key cog for them. So I think they legitimately could be a value add if you wanted to go there right now. The New York Knicks, again, to repeat, a lot will be predicated off of, will there be that regression to the mean? What is the motivation? You know, the ads for draft night, notwithstanding, should they be 7-1 to repeat? As far as repeats go, this would be a classic cross-sport parlay for me opportunity, Dave. And already with the Knicks, already have one in tow right now with the Knicks to win the title, along with the Yankees to win the World Series at 287-1. So I think that would be the only way I could play a Knicks to repeat. I would have to find another play to parlay that with to get them at least into double-digit odds. The same with the Celtics. And if you want to play it now, Dave, and I know you've kind of alluded to this, if Jaylen Brown's gone, what does that do to their number? And are you better off waiting if that relationship is not mendable? So I think that would be something to factor in as well. And then let me throw you an MVP market. Okay. In what world do we live in where a portion of the country has Victor Wembanyama as the villain for how this NBA Finals ended? You know, the last we hear from him is, oh, we were the better team and, you know, we didn't get it across the line. You know, I've heard that from James Harden, and that was like, okay, beat it, geek. But I think that you have to look at that MVP number. Like, if Wemby is healthy and Wemby does what we've already seen in his short tenure, Is there another alternative outside of maybe Giannis? I know Giannis is going to get a lot of run there in the MVP market. Outside of those two, is there an argument to be made for anyone else, and I'll give you the floor, go wherever you want. What truly right now, without any other moves being made, stands out as a distinct value in any of those markets?
I'll give you a couple that catch my eye. First, in the championship numbers, and what you just detailed, Jensen, is exactly where I was going to go. Kind of like in Top Gun, the encounter was a success, but I think we've shown this as an example of what not to do. I'd be more apt to cancel some teams out. And the first one I would do is the Celtics. There is no way you could get me in June to bet the Celtics at a single-digit number to win the NBA title until we know, one, is Jaylen Brown coming back? And two, if he comes back, do we now have a problem with Joe Mazzulla and with Jason Tatum? Are we going to have some issues inside that locker room? Are we going to have to trade him before the trade deadline? What is the dynamic now in Boston after you put all those chips into the middle and you don't get Giannis Antetokounmpo? So to me, that's the example there, is a team to fade and a team to not look at in the futures market. So I'm taking the Celtics right off my list. Now, in your MVP discussion, I was looking at the Cavaliers at 40-1. And I go, wait, the Lakers are 30-1, yet the Cavs, who were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, are 40-1. What? Why is that number $10 off? Well, we do believe that LeBron is not coming back to LA, and I don't know if he's going to go to Cleveland or where he's going to go. That gets me to a Luka MVP. If you're looking to go away from Wemby, and they'll never say it, Lakers will never say it, LeBron certainly won't, Luka certainly won't, that maybe now they feel unencumbered now that the King's going to be gone, and that it really will be, for the first time, really Luka's team this year in the Lakers. And so now we're not kowtowing to one of the greats of all time. We're not kowtowing to LeBron at the end of his tenure in LA and possibly in the league in general. Now we can go on the business of actually trying to be better, win basketball games, and be a player in the West. And if the Lakers are a true player, and it's a big if, in the West, that means it's Luka. Hopefully an in-shape Luka. Hopefully a healthy Luka. And if you get that guy and you don't have the other one to draw attention to you, I think in the MVP market, that would be a pivot off of Wemby out West. Not that the Lakers will ever surprise, because they're always going to be the Lakers and they're always going to have the big microphone and spotlight on them. So you're going to hear and see everything they do. But to me, that's where I'd look. Luka, we don't know, coming off the injury, we didn't see him again. We know he's overseas in Europe trying to get everything right with the lower body and the knee, et cetera. If the legs are fine and he's in shape and there's no LeBron, that's might be my pivot point, would be to Luka Doncic, that I'd look at it. Right now I'm seeing it as a fourth betting choice for MVP. That's maybe where I want to go. When everybody's looking at Giannis, everybody's looking at Wemby, that might be a quote-unquote value play I'd be interested in.
I think this is also an exercise in, you can kind of let the dust settle here on the next handful of weeks of what some of these other clubs will do. And another great point from JVT earlier in the show, please like and follow our By the Books podcast to get his insight there. When you're looking at, you mentioned Braden Burris is a very long number already.
Yes.
In the rookie of the year market. Is that an exercise where you would want to at least take a position if indeed Tyler Hero does get shipped off here in the next several weeks? Again, we use the stock market analogy where this stock hasn't taken off yet. And maybe he does, even with Tyler Hero. Think about this too. Let's say Tyler Hero does stay. He gets hurt early. Where do we pivot? Mm. Well, we pivot to Braden Burris in that offense, you would think, on paper, and still other things can happen. So I think that's a great identifier from you of, the bet may not win, or at least on paper look like there's a high percentage of it winning, but you can kind of forecast out a scenario where that investment becomes incredibly and parabolically more advantageous or valuable should events transpire, whether it be via trade, injury, what have you. I think it's astute observation for you to look at it that way.
Yeah, 50-1 on Burris would be a price point I'd be willing to hop in on. And then you hope that they move on from Tyler Hero, get some assets there. We talked about Kobe coming over as well, a really young team that they're going to have there in Milwaukee. and let the kids play, right? I mean, Giannis is gone. It's a full rebuild that you're doing there in Milwaukee. I think everybody's on board with it. You won a championship with Giannis there in the city, and now you realize what the task at hand is. Burry's at 51 would be a way I'd look. I want to talk a little bit about A.J. DiBonza in D.C. Again, he's not the favorite to be Rookie of the Year. I do like to identify, kind of like Burry's, where the expectations are lower. Clearly, they're higher for Boozer and they're higher for Peterson, at least in the betting market. Not drastically, but still over $2 the difference between Boozer and DiBonza. Since if you made me play the short shots, I'd rather look to the plus 450 side on AJ. And again, bringing back Trae Young, hopefully you get the big man rolling here and the guard helps up the big rookie here in DC. I'm telling you, that's a fan base that is starved for a star. And I don't know that DiBonza is going to be a star, but at those price points, I know Boozer might get more opportunity. DiBonza is going to get every opportunity to be a player with minutes in DC this year. They're going to advertise that kid. They're going to sell kids to that fan base, Jensen, at plus 450 for the short shots. I wouldn't scare people off of that number.
I like it. And again, a lot still to transpire here in this offseason, but some interesting price points to file away in case news does come down or moves are made, certainly in the next month.
Very quickly, could I even tempt your tummy at 40-1 for your Cleveland Cavaliers next year? Or are you just out on the Cavs?
Oh, man. I mean,
come on,
you know
Jensen.
What I got to do? I got to do like a Cavs with Argentina to win the World Cup. That'd be the only way you'd entice me, something like that.
That's it. 40-1 is not long enough for my man, Jensen Lewis, there in the great city of Cleveland. All right, when we come back, let's get to our best bets. I got a couple guys that I want you to watch, maybe placement markets this week at the Travelers. We'll discuss next right here. Peace and by the books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Football heads rejoice. The all-new NFL betting guide is out right now on the network. Whether you're betting those futures, win totals, divisional races, MVP, the Roy, Super Bowl odds, our guide is going to help you get ahead of the market before training camp even begins. Breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from our VSiN experts, futures analysis, and power ratings, and so much more. Get it today. Our football special is just $175. What do you get with it? Well, full access to everything we do through the Super Bowl next year in February, people. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. A man who did a lot of work getting everybody together on that is Adam Burke, our managing editor. Burke, he's going to join us in the next segment. And, of course, one of our experts on there, Wes Reynolds, had his thoughts as well. We'll get his thoughts on the Travelers, which is, Jensen, the last elevated event. And I thought you laid it out perfectly. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. As a former professional athlete, to see that what Brian Rolapp is going to do here as the new commissioner of the PGA Tour, these elevated events, Jensen, they're going away, people, right? We're still going to have them at the same venue, but these no-cut events, bye-bye, baby. This might be the last gravy train for the PGA Tour this week up there in Hartford. You already, I thought, had a great breakdown earlier in the show here. Again, like, subscribe. You can check out your list here if you're getting into some of those DraftKings and or FanDuel's markets here. I want to give you a pair of guys, Jensen, to keep an eye on this week. And what I'm doing here, I'm looking for the bounce back from a couple guys and a couple of Americans who, for my money, did not play very well at the United States Open. And one guy in particular I was really surprised at was Russell Henley. Now, Russ did make the cut, But if you looked at what he shot in the weekend, Jensen, he was nowhere to be found. He was a very popular pick last week at Shinnecock, and Russ did not have it, okay? For a guy like that, with a bulldog mentality, and I've seen on the odds board, it's drifted a little bit, 30 to ones you can find out there, and I did take a stab at that in the outright market on Russell Henley this week. This is not an overpowering golf course. It's not super long. I think the length is going to be just fine. That's normally the first thing I'm going to look at for Russell Henley. Is the ballpark too big? I don't think that's going to be the case here at the Travelers. So I've played him in a couple placement markets here, Jensen, minus $1.20 for a top 20 for Russell Henley, a guy that's very prideful and I think very disappointed in his finish last week, and also an outright at 30 to 1. The other American that did not make the cut, and I was really surprised by that, pretty good form actually coming in, was J.J. Spaun. Not obviously just as a former U.S. Open champion that we saw as the reigning defending, but boy, it got away from him early on a Thursday. He could not recover on the Friday. I think a guy like that, sometimes mentally, J.J. Spaun has to tell himself, I am one of the best players in the world. It's almost like a mantra that he should repeat to himself. And I think the confidence, I heard it, leading up to the U.S. Open, sound like he knew that he still belonged. I think after a disappointment like we had a week ago, I found a 50 to 1 on him in the outright market, and I had to pull the trigger there. Look, do I actually think he's going to beat, say, a Scottie Scheffler? I know he's the short shot to win again this week. I understand why. Obviously, with the big names, no Rory McIlroy this week. I do like the top 20 play even better at plus $1.10. I wanted to play the number at 50 to 1, and hopefully he and Russ are two of the guys that I can maybe look to a third guy to add to the card as the week goes on, because if they get off to good starts, those numbers won't be there. That's why I played them only two outrights right now. Henley 30 to 1, Spaun 50 to 1, both those guys top 20s. Small price point for Henley, some small plus money at J.J. Spaun. Two Americans, Jensen, that I'm keeping my eye on this week up there at Hartford.
All right, we're going to align actually on a couple of guys. First and foremost, Russell Henley, I did also take for a top 20 finish with ties. Woo! Found him at $1.06 there at DraftKings. So nice little price there to be able to get him in. Your boy, Aluda, Ludvig Åberg, top 20, a little more expensive there at minus $1.56. Justin Thomas, again, nice little course horse here at the Travelers, has really performed well. Like him at a top 10 finish, including ties, at plus +230. We'll go right back to the well with Scottie Scheffler, top five at almost even money. And then Tommy Fleetwood, a little over 3 to 1. I like the stylistic fit amongst the contenders there, the accuracy, the approach, the revenge narrative after last year's near miss, the hot form that he's had. I think instead of betting the outright, taking for top five. One of my favorite bombs of the week, Dave. Keegan Captain Bradley, 48 to 1. First round leader. It is the home course. It is one of his favorite places. He loves coming out firing when he gets to sleep in his own bed. And why not? Dave, this is a boosted first round leader price on DraftKings. They're offering an additional 4 to 1 odds boost for any of the first round leader bets. So I went to the guy who loves playing here. And has got great course history, as we know. So Keegan Bradley up from 44 to 1 to 48 to 1 on the first round leader bet. And then we will go with another odds boost token that we can use on DraftKings. A top 20 finish parlay. David, has to be a minimum of 3 legs for the top 20 finish. Mm-hmm. I will go with Scottie Scheffler. We'll go with the X-Man, Xander Schauffele. And we'll also go with Patrick Cantlay. That was plus +250. That got boosted to 3 to 1. Think these guys not only into the weekend, but could be factors very late into Sunday afternoon.
Gentlemen, the rules of Top Gun are here for the safety of you and your team. They are not flexible, nor am I. You knew the rules. You violated them. Why? Jensen, we do have a point of order that we have to bring up from last week's show. We did a fun segment, the No Fly Zone. And then we both flew below the hard decks, Commander Heatherly. I know it was just for a minute on Ludvig, and I believe on Brooks for you. We knew the rules that existed, and yet we broke them. Jensen Lewis, why?
Well, again, you look and watch, especially at the U.S. Open, and the conditions were, we were sold a forecast, yes. Dave.
That's right.
That all of a sudden did not transpire. I don't know if it was the golf gods. I don't know if people were paid off because they had outrights or they had placement markets that as meteorologists, it would benefit them. I'm not going to start any conspiracy theory here. But sometimes, you know, I wasn't below the hard deck for more than a few seconds. I had the shot. There was no danger. So I took it. And I know I broke a major rule of engagement. But again, sometimes you just look for guys that are off and rolling. And you do this a lot on Thursdays, right? We come back on a Friday. Yep. And you see things that maybe the handicap led us one way into Thursday pre-tournament. And then what you watch happen and transpire, whether it be how the course plays, whether it how, you know, guys looked a lot better than anticipated. And then you make your adjustments on Friday. So I thought a nice little sprinkle here around off of a big mentally taxing United States Open, but some guys that in the final elevated event, as you said, I think we're going to get some great efforts from a lot of these big names.
All I will say is I had posted about Ludwig and my frustration of betting him, and Stormy Bonantoni reached out and said, I thought he was on your no-fly zone. And my response was, I'm not taking questions at this time. She was, in fact, correct. Jensen, let's get to some of your baseball plays that you have out there on the docket today. And again, we had some overplays that cashed nicely yesterday. You're going to go back there on the Dodgers. And I know some people might say, Shohei Ohtani, Joe Ryan, do I really want to go there? You're seeing the money is coming in on that over, correct?
Yeah, and there's already been some changes. Fortunately, I got the over 7.5, and I believe my final price on that was $1.16, minus $1.16 on Novig. Already seeing some significant over money come in there. They're up to 8.5. DraftKings already up to 8. Circa's up to 8. So feel very fortunate about it. Again, Minnesota as a home dog, 18-11-4 to the over this year, Dave. And Ohtani has actually looked pretty pedestrian the last couple of times out here. He's gotten hit around a bit. I think both offenses take advantage here later on at Target Field. So I do like that over particularly. Couple of matinee unders for you, Dave. First in South Beach, it's not a 1-10 start. It's a 12-10 start. So we are going to get, I think, some free air conditioning there in South Beach between Jacob deGrom and Yuri Perez back off the IL here for the Miami Marlins. Under 7.5, minus $1.13, the price that I got. Set it, forget it. I think both these starters will have their way with these offenses at a sleepy afternoon hour, especially for the road team. Also, this afternoon, Guardians and White Sox under 8.5. I got that price at minus $1.04. This is Tanner Bibee, Eric Fetty. You're going to have Eric Fetty coming in off a 4-start stretch where he's got a .156 ERA. And Dave, no Jose Ramirez, no Chase DeLauder for the Guardians attack. I think Tanner Bibee equal to the task. Another low scoring affair as the White Sox have overtaken Cleveland after yesterday's victory with the first place spot in the American League Central.
Very quickly, Jensen, on those two games in particular, do you look to first five unders as well, or do you like just to play the full game?
I'm going to play the full game, man. You can get burned there early with maybe a 3-run homer or something like that, and then all of a sudden everything kind of regresses to the mean. So just full games for those unders for this afternoon.
Love it. Those are our best bets here. And again, when we come back on this fine program, we got a lot of things going on at the network. Adam Burke is in the middle of all of it as our managing editor. He is on board next.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Wednesday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Lots of things going on at the network, of course. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you are privy to all of it. Adam Burke is the man that makes it happen. He's our VSiN managing editor. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X at Skating Tripods. Adam, it's always busy. There's never really a slow time of the sports calendar. I think people think this is it. It's never that way for you. We're going to get to the NFL betting guide, which is already out. But right now, with the NBA draft going, and I know Zach Cohen and you have done a lot of work for this for Visa Pro subscribers, very profitable so far in that first round. How are we doing it on the digital side as the draft continues?
Oh, don't give me any credit for that. All the credit goes to Zachary Cohen for the NBA draft and a lot of our NBA coverage over there at vsin.com. And I feel bad. Zach's going to have to roll right into Wimbledon now because that's getting started there. So, you know, I mean, my senior editor does a phenomenal job for us over there at the website. Of course, did the draft special yesterday on air, but doing the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, and did well with his draft picks also, you know, with his best bets over at vsin.com. Not many markets here for the second round. I haven't seen anything at the traditional sports books, really. Handful of things, the prediction markets, but yeah. Oh, big shout out to Zach. Does a lot for us over there at the website and did some yeoman's work with the NBA draft as well.
I certainly did. Over 8.5 units of profit just in those draft selections. So if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you had all those. Great time to be a subscriber as well, Adam, obviously, with the NFL betting guide coming out on Monday. I love the difference and the little shakeup in the format, the three burning questions, if you will, for each of these teams. Any other highlights for you that if people are just now getting around to becoming a subscriber, what can they anticipate when they purchase and get the betting guide themselves?
Yeah, and I think one distinction that's important to point out here is that, you know, this is one of our signature products of the year, right? So this is not one that we're selling a la carte. This is one where you do have to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And I know we're talking about early bird pricing for the football special, but even if you just want to hop on with the intro special for 30 days for $9.99, basically get you this guide for under $10, which in today's day and age, with how much the football previews are going for out there on newsstands or in digital formats, that's a really, really good deal. So vsin.com/subscribe for that. But I think it's just really interesting. You know, we have a lot of contributors for this, not just the, you know, six different writers who wrote up division previews for us, plus, you know, all of Steve Mackinnon's thoughts and Matt Brown's feature article and all of that, and John Hansen as well. But you get all the different best bets from the hosts and the other contributors. So you get a lot of different handicapping perspectives, and we do have a pretty diverse staff, at least from a handicapping standpoint here at vsin.com and on the VSiN, you know, broadcast. So, you know, you can pick whoever's insight analysis you like the most, or maybe you have a trusted voice that you've, you know, been following for a while, or maybe you're just new to VSiN and just want to see what we're all about. You can see all of that in action with the NFL betting guide. And I think it's really a special way to showcase, you know, what we're capable of and what we do pretty much on a daily basis here with the company.
Yeah, I love it, Adam. And again, everybody that we have, either it's a host that comes on the show and or a contributor, we're going to kind of, we don't want to give away the whole store for free. We kind of pick their brain a little bit of how they got to some of the picks and the teams that they got to. Was there anything that stood out to you as far as maybe a surprise? I know there was some consensus on some teams in certain divisions. Was there any, maybe one or two, that really kind of caught your attention and maybe you flagged it a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. There's a couple of things. One is a consensus and one is the polar opposite of a consensus. And the consensus first is that there's a lot of people that like the Buffalo Bills in this year's guide. 20 of the 23 people who submitted their picks for division winners on the Super Bowl matchup and also the wildcard teams, 20 of the 23 took Buffalo to win the AFC East. Sure, I get it, right? I mean, the Patriots are going to face a much more difficult schedule. Drake May took a massive leap in year two. So, you know, maybe people kind of expecting a little bit of regression to the mean there out of him. But I was a little bit surprised to see it as lopsided as it actually was. But again, the strength of schedule for the Patriots really gets a lot tougher after they played historically one of the weakest schedules in the NFL ever last season. And then the other one is the NFC South, where, I mean, 8-9 won this division last year. It's entirely possible 8-9 wins this division again. Not a whole lot of belief, you know, coming from certain segments of that division, but for the most part, opinions very, very split on that division. And look, there's a lot of different ways it could go, right? I mean, Kevin Stefanski, new head coach in Atlanta. You've got Dave Canales, who's a third-year guy there with Carolina. You got Todd Bowles, who I think maybe the modern day game's kind of passing him by a little bit. And I can say that because I wrote that division preview. Other than the Saints, you know, great end of the season, very good defensively last year. But is Tyler Shuck a guy, right? Is he going to prove himself to be a average or better NFL starting quarterback? So a varying difference of opinions on the NFC South. But I do think that creates a lot of betting value in a high variance division. And I encourage everyone not only to go check out my previews because I wrote them, but also because we've got some best bets on that NFC South as well.
Yes, one of the three people to select the New England Patriots to win the AFC East, yours truly, who will be playing one of the higher contrarian value plays, at least in the guide. One other great part about it, and I know
we have two of the three here right now on
Oh, really?
Screen. So
let's yeah. go. And it's I love not it. Dave Ross. Love it when great minds think alike. Love hey. That.
Go Bills.
speaking of going, we also cater to our fantasy football players too, and John Hansen, who will return as the host of Prop Points once the season gets underway. It's a great dichotomy, Adam, when you look at, I believe it's upwards of 15 player props for the season that he gives his insight into. Great wrinkle for subscribers, and then also in your eyes, kind of what that does to shape not only the betting market, but for those who are big time fantasy players, what that could mean as they set up their big boards for their fantasy drafts.
Yeah, nothing against the RotoWire guys, because they're fantastic hosting Prop Points here in the football offseason. But John Hansen has been very, very strong with his picks on the show when he hosts Prop Points throughout the course of the NFL season. And, you know, look, I mean, there's just a natural crossover, right, between doing fantasy football and, you know, getting involved in the player prop markets. And from a season long standpoint, you know, John knows what he's looking for. He's a very sharp guy. They got a lot of good tools over there at Fantasy Points as well. So yeah, he's got, you know, 10 overs and 5 unders that he's looking for teams. And I appreciate that, you know, as he said, he likes to be a little bit more of an optimist than a pessimist when it comes to these things, and good for him for that, because most of us in this business can be very pessimistic. But he's got a lot of different season-long props there to go check out, and some really good analysis as well. And it's very easy to consume, too. You know, this isn't like an example of somebody getting really deep in the weeds with data or anything like that. This is very straightforward, very good stuff from John, good stuff from Matt Brown as well in terms of, you know, the usage rates that we're likely to see for the rookies in the Offensive Rookie of the Year market. Again, I just love the fact that we have so many different ways of attacking these different NFL betting markets that are out there. And again, it may seem early to be talking about this. It may seem early to put this guide out, but now is a really good time to bet into these markets, because people are starting to think about football, but they're not really maybe ready to take those positions yet. So you can get some good line values, some good price equity at this time of the year.
Yeah, that's great advice. It's a great time to strike. So if you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, as Adam alluded to, there are many different ways you can get in. $9.99 intro offer or $175 will cover you through the month of February of next year. Burke, you got a couple minutes to go here, and we're going to be at the All-Star break before you guys bat an eye here in mid-July, coming up in just a couple weeks. Are there any teams out there, and I know we look at certain divisions that we think that maybe feel like they're starting to cement a little bit, but are there any teams out there that you might think could be play-ons, or any teams that maybe have overachieved now that you think might scale back and come back to the pack a little bit?
Yeah, so there's one that really stands out to me. And in fact, I was texting Jensen about this team last night, and they had a nice ninth inning comeback on actually one. I was on the Diamondbacks last night, so maybe got a little bit fortunate with that one. But this is a team, if you look over the last 30 days or so, they have been atrocious with men in scoring position, just beyond bad. They went into last night's game batting 139, batting average on balls in play in the 170s. That's a prolonged slump over the course of a month. And I think they were 11th or 12th in plate appearances with a runner in scoring position. So they were generating some chances, not cashing them in at all whatsoever. And maybe last night's win, kind of a catalyst. We know hitting can be contagious, especially with men in scoring position, kind of, you know, let some of that air out of the balloon a little bit that's kind of holding everybody back. I think Arizona has the potential to go on a bit of a run now as some of their numbers and higher leverage plate appearances kind of level off. So that's a team that I'm going to be looking to back here a fair amount. The starting pitching has obviously been very hit or miss for them this season, but I think offensively they're going to get it going. So whether I play them, play their team total overs, first five team total over, stuff like that, there's a lot of corrections that need to happen with the stats for the Diamondbacks in high leverage situations, and I think it will.
All right. A nice win yesterday there for Arizona in the Lou. Berkey, you're always busy, man. We appreciate your time here on Wednesdays. Great job with the NFL betting guide. It looks spectacular. And again, if you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, check it out. You'll know exactly what we're talking about here. So we appreciate you. Give him a follow on X at Skating Tripods. When we come back, one more elevated event in the history of the PGA Tour. We'll discuss it next with Wes Reynolds. Our Wednesdays with Wes, straight ahead. VSiN by the Books. We'll be right back.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
And then there was one more elevated event on the PGA Tour. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you on a Wednesdays. We always look forward to our golf conversations with the great Wes Reynolds. Wednesdays with Wes. Give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds. And the number one joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. And Wes, we got to start there because, as I've been saying, there's a new sheriff in town. Brian Rolapp is his name. He's going to be the fifth commissioner in the history of the PGA Tour starting in the new year, replacing Jay Monahan. And a pretty eye-opening press conference yesterday. There are going to be massive changes to the PGA Tour. An NFL guy taking over golf. What'd you make of it? I know that you guys are going to break this down in long shots in weeks to come, but your initial cursory glance at what you heard yesterday from the soon-to-be new commissioner.
Yeah, the NFL guy, Brian Rolapp, going very soccer in terms of how this looks to be done, at least at first glance, where you have like promotion and relegation, and you almost have two separate tours now. You have the big boys, you know, where you're the championship series, and then you get into like a challenger series. So, you know, I understand why they're doing that, you know, in terms of, you know, trying to create incentive to put it in the dirt and to win and to really have a meritocracy while also not being exclusionary. Yeah, I don't know if this is I don't think this is a reaction to Liv, with Liv potentially being on its last legs based on what we hear. So, you know, in terms of like the markets they're going to, they want to go to the bigger markets. So they want to have tournaments in New York and San Francisco and DC and Boston, et cetera, et cetera. So I totally understand that. And one of the things I did like about it, I like the match play, like in the playoffs. I've felt that they've had a void not having match play as somewhat of a part of this. And I think match play probably is going to help our side more in potentially Ryder Cups and President's Cups. And I like that format. I know it's kind of tough for television, but I like that format in the playoffs. And, you know, I think some of these changes were needed, but there's still a lot to, I think, like work through here. But, you know, at first glance, I think a lot of these are very good.
And I think the scheduling part of it is something Dave and I brought up too, Wes, where you're not conflicting with, you know, the NFL for your big time starts, or you now have kind of a portion of the calendar where, oh, it's golf season. And, you know, until we get to the Masters, traditionally people are like, oh, golf. Yeah, it's going on. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe the waste management is probably that kickoff and kind of a perfect segue to the Travelers that we have this week. Is attendance wise, I know as part of what you wrote up in the article, this traditionally gets a high volume of people that will come out to watch it. But the field is still littered with some very big names. How did you start your card, and what was kind of the filter you applied coming off what was, again, another true test there at the United States Open?
Yeah, this is always an interesting week, Jensen, because you're coming off that rough major championship, which it ended up being. It looked like it was going to be easily scoreable the first day or two, but you only ended up with three guys under par. And, you know, unfortunately, Wyndham didn't come back one more stroke to Sam Burns and give us a playoff. But I ended up with a sweat, at least on Sunday. But credit to Wyndham Clark with holding all the pressure. And I think the crowd kind of maybe jeering him a little bit as a victim of circumstance because they didn't want to see a blowout at the U.S. Open. And you won't get a blowout here, I think, in Hartford at the Travelers, because this is usually a scoreable event, but it's not necessarily an easy course. You know, it's got some nooks and crannies. It's a little bit over 6,800 yards, par 70, but you got to be a little strategic here. It's not just bombing it down there. You got to be, I think, a little bit more positional in terms of your driving. So it's always an interesting handicap when you come off that major and some guys deal with the grind and then some guys, you know, it's like they miss the cut and maybe they get discounted, I think, probably improperly here. And they're going to have to be motivated because this is a signature event. This is a big purse. There's kind of a down week next week from a purse standpoint with John Deere. And then they go right back to the Scottish and then the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. So where I started this week, I started with a guy that might actually have some unfinished business here at the Travelers, and that is Tommy Fleetwood. And when we talk about betting these outrights, some years you get some breaks and some years you don't. This is one where I didn't. Last year is one where I did. And one of the breaks I got here was Keegan Bradley winning this thing when it should have been Tommy Fleetwood, when he had a 3-shot lead going into the final round. And then he kind of gave it away T11 at the Open, U.S. Open last week, 4th, 11th, and 11th in his last three events. And you've got the Scottish coming up where he is always very good. And then the Open Championship in Southport, England, which, by the way, is Tommy Fleetwood's hometown, where he used to sneak over the fence and watch the Open Championship as a young kid there in England. So it really seems like this is the time of year where maybe Tommy Fleetwood's going to get one. So I took him at plus 1750 at DraftKings. You can get 16 to 1-ish in the market right now.
Yeah, probably no pressure for him when they get over there to England to play this version of the British Open here, Wes. One guy that did make your card, I have concerns, but it looks like he says, you know, there's still some things he can't do in the golf course, but he's getting around pretty darn good, is Colin Morikawa. Look, I feel like it was such a bad break for him, literally with his back, because he was playing like a two-time major champion before he had that injury. Are you all the way back, pun intended, on Colin Morikawa?
I think at the price at around 30 to 1 or even northwards of that, I think you kind of have to be, even though his track record here doesn't really seem like it's all that good, considering that this should be a good course for him. Positional driving and approach and wedge play, which he's one of the best in the world at. He was T17 last week at the U.S. Open. I thought he played better than his result, though. He was first page of the leaderboard for most of the weekend, just had a couple tough chips on Sunday that cost him shots on those tight lies. This, you're getting more thick, rough stuff around these greens. So he could be better chipping and pitching out of that stuff. And also just became a father for the first time earlier this month. So he's kind of dealing with the back injury and then impending fatherhood. You know, that's probably a lot to weigh on when you're playing a full-time schedule. So I think Morikawa, you know, he's close, and I actually liked the way he played last week at the U.S. Open, despite that the finish wasn't what he wanted.
Two other guys that we align on, Wes, and love to see where your head's at with Justin Thomas and Patrick Cantlay. I did play a little three-leg top 20 finish, including Patrick Cantlay in that. But I think JT also, another great guy to back, good course history here. Feels like the form is right. What else did you see from those two guys that really attracted you in the overall winner market?
Yeah, Jensen, he's kind of been on the periphery, right? He closed his U.S. Open with the under par round T17, but he's got a few wins on shorter courses, including a couple Pete Dye designs in TPC River Islands, primarily a Pete Dye design, but he's won at Harbortown. He's won at TPC Sawgrass. 10 appearances here at the Travelers, where he's had a third back in 2016, and he's been top 10 each of the last 3 years. So JT was somebody that I think stood out to me. I think a consistent player here. Patrick Cantlay is a little bit of a gut play because he missed the cut at the U.S. Open, but you know what? So did Keegan Bradley 3 years ago and then won here. I think four of the last 10 that have won here at the Travelers missed the cut the week prior at the U.S. Open. So some guys can refocus, I think, missing that cut. He actually has never finished outside the top 15 here in the last 8 years. So even when his game is not tip top shape, he's a pretty good placement market. So what you said about that top 20, this might be like the Xander Schauffele at the U.S. Open bet, where you bet the top 20 every single time until you lose. And by the way, Xander got there last week. I think Cantlay would again. And I think Cantlay will be a contender this week.
I hope you're right about that missed cut thing here, because I'm playing JJ Spawn this week, who missed the cut last week at the U.S. Open. Wes, I got to get to the elephant in the room. Rory McIlroy is not going to be here this week, but Scottie Scheffler will be. We know about the terrible starts in the PGA Tour on Thursdays. Traditionally, for whatever reason this year, it seems like it was odd to see him in the final group and not really in contention down the stretch last week at Shinnecock Hills. Where are we in Scotty now? Plus 450 is the short shot to win. How are you approaching Scheffler in the betting markets?
Well, I know some people are single bulleting him this week, and he has won here. He won here 2 years ago, by the way, in that playoff over his buddy Tom Kim. I still think he's playing okay. He just, you know, he set such a standard, I think, Dave, over the last couple of years, where it's like if he doesn't get to that standard, he just disappoints, you know, and I think he's playing really good golf. It's just not clicking on all cylinders right now. But even when it's not clicking, like, he's still kind of up there. He still finished T4. So it's not like he's missing cuts or finishing T46 or just a total non-factor. But yeah, you would have thought maybe he would have put a little bit more pressure on Wyndham, but he didn't. The crowd was kind of cheering him on to do that because they wanted something close. I don't think it was anything personal at Wyndham Clark. I just think that they wanted a grinder close U.S. Open, and Scotty just wasn't able to put the pressure. Sam Burns did a little bit, but credit to Wyndham for holding his medal and never losing that lead.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I think that was I know that there's some issues with Wyndham, but I think you're right. It was kind of more pro Scotty wanting some drama down the stretch at the United States Open. Check out Long Shots, people. Again, like, subscribe to it. It's a fantastic listen with Wes and Kelly Bidwin and Matt Brown each and every week. Wes, we appreciate you for our Wednesdays with Wes here on VSiN by the Books. If you want more VSiN, you've been watching here on FanDuel Sports Network. Of course, you can get it. Easily accessible. VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app. We've got Gil Alexander, Dustin Swedelson coming up next. It's a numbers game.